Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. TD is with us for the TD Power Hour, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, number one, good to see you. Number two, you are the man. We appreciate everything that you bring to this show. I mean, the listeners look forward to this all week, and everything that our show and station does, you are a huge part of, and we appreciate you for that. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, man. Like the Georgia State coach said, tell them to bring me my money.
There you go. TD, your reaction to the schedule. How did you feel when you got the email yesterday with the schedule? And I don't know if your ESPN sources, you know, get that schedule to you a little bit earlier than we all got it. I have no idea. Mm. But what did you think? I know you because I know as a beat guy, it's like, all right, get the hotels booked, get the planes booked, get the everything. But what did you think when you saw the schedule yesterday?
Yeah, no, we got it a little bit early, but we have a no-leak policy, so it was like holding my water, man. You know what I'm saying? Not being able to share what I saw. But, yeah, I mean, I saw the schedule, and I'm like, wow, the bye week's early. Ooh, one primetime game. Oh, shoot, look at the back end of the schedule, three straight division games. So you look at it, and you just kind of think about how things are set up and wonder how this team will fare. And one of the things that I looked at was, you know, you always look at the division play, right? And I'm like, oh, look at you got the AFC East. Oh, yeah, I forgot there's Buffalo. Thank God it's in October and not December. You know what I mean? So sure. Those are the things you look at, because I will tell you, you remember because you were there at Green Bay, man. Yeah, it was very cold. Very, very cold.
You didn't have to walk 2 miles back after the Green Bay game was over because you couldn't get a car out of the stadium. Oh, it was so awful.
Yeah.
And then, of course, our day traveling home was as equally awful, which you were a part of. So, you know what I was thinking about with the one primetime thing, the one primetime game? You know, I think it's, I don't want to say disrespectful, but it is kind of a, you know, a look in the mirror moment, a step on the scale moment of, hey, they think so little of you that they're giving you one primetime game. And it's not only one prime, it's split with another game at the same time. And I think that can be kind of motivating a little bit of, hey, man, you guys signed L'Jarius Sneed and Calvin Ridley and drafted T'Vondre Sweat. And they still, Tony Pollard and Lloyd Cushenberry, and they still don't respect you. And then I also think it's good, you know, for the young quarterback who's still kind of finding his routine on a weekly basis, the young coach who, while he's coached for a while, he's never been a head coach before. I think it's good for them to have the routine of noon on Sunday pretty much every week.
Yeah, you know, I'd say this, and I got to spend last Friday night and half a Saturday with Levis over there at Lipscomb for his passing academy. He's very – I wouldn't have any concerns about any of the cerebral part of it or anything like that. That dude is very detailed and put together when it comes to that. I wouldn't have a concern there. I get what you're saying. But I think really that game to me is one of the most important ones on the schedule.
And so you're talking about the Dolphins game?
The Dolphins game, that Monday Night Football game, because it's an opportunity for them to show the rest of the league – truly what they're about. You're going into the bye week, and then also you look at that, when I say show the rest of the league truly what they're about, it's a chance for this young quarterback to say, hey, look, put those eyes on me because I could be a marquee player in the league. That's why I think it's so important. And it's an opportunity for him to let the rest of the league know, this team, they're going to get on my shoulders and we're going to rock out. You know, so I think that's a critical game for them.
The one thing, though, about that is he had that kind of moment last year with that comeback, but most of the country was watching Tommy DeVito, you know, against the Packers. Yeah. And, I mean, again, we're all realists here. The sexier game is going to be Seattle and Detroit. Like, that's, you know, Joe Buck's going to be doing that game. That game's going to be on ABC. I mean, it's like somebody asked in the text line, what percentage of the country watches the Titans in those split doubleheaders that they've had the last couple of years? And I don't really have an answer, but I would guess, what, 30, 35% maybe?
I would say there's a good amount. Oh, you're talking about watching one versus the other? Because, I mean, they're not running simultaneously. fully, you know what I mean?
Well, right. Doesn't like one game kick off like 30 minutes before the other one?
Yeah, yeah. So I guess what you're saying is if the Titans game kicks off first, how what percentage stays on that station, mm-hmm. ESPN 1, and doesn't shift to ESPN 2 or whatever. You know, I get that. I don't know. But I just think that, I mean, you look over the last couple years, right, you know, when they were on primetime games, outside of that Dolphins game, I would say probably the Packers game a couple years ago. I mean, it has been a tough performance for them, and they haven't really given the rest of the league reason to be like, oh, yeah, we got to put the Titans on primetime. And then you also look at Derrick Henry leaving, right, wrong, or indifferent. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the man. Like, that's the guy. That's the marquee player. Right now, they don't really have that one player where you say, oh, I got to tune into the Titans to see what this dude does. And that's why I think that Monday game is so important, because it could make people be like, dang, that Levis kid, wow. You know what I mean?
No, for sure. I was thinking about Jared Goff and the fact that, remember, people wrote Jared Goff after that first year with Jeff Fisher, and he didn't play over Case Keenum. And I think what really happened was a lot of people thought Jared Goff was dumb, you know, because of the Hard Knocks, when he, like, didn't know that the sun rose in the east and set in the west. And so a lot of people, you know, kind of wrote him off, and then McVay took over, and he had that great second year and exploded. And Jordan Love, you know, I think he had that bad game when he filled in for Aaron Rodgers, and people kind of wrote him off. And then last year, you know, they were 6-8, and then Jordan Love got hot, and now people are like, whoa, he could mm-hmm. – I think Levis could do the exact same thing. Exactly. People are kind of writing him off, but I could see Levis having a big year, you know, throwing the ball down the field, and people saying like, wow, this Levis kid, he's got a rocket launcher for an arm right there, and they're throwing the ball.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's what it is. And so that's where the showcase thing is. But I tell you, you look at this schedule, and, I mean, you know, the amount of really good receivers that they're going to face, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Garrett Wilson, you look at Christian Watson, you look at the Dolphins crew with Waddle, and now Odell Beckham Jr., who what's left of him, right? And obviously Tyreek Hill. You got Keenan Allen. You got DJ Moore. And you know I love me some DJ Moore. That's one of my favorite players to watch. And then you got Rome Odunze and Justin Jefferson and Stephon Diggs, and oh, we could just keep going on and on. Jamar Chase, Legarius Sneed could really earn his money this year.
So I love the fact, TD, I want your opinion on this. Four of the last five against the AFC South, because if they get this thing rolling, you know, it won't be right at the beginning of the year they'll start off 8-0. It'll be kind of a progression, I would assume. And that may give them a chance to make something of the division if they get it rolling. I think a lot of fans that were like, wow, it's too much division at the end of the year. I'm like, I want division at the end of the year. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I want division at the end of the year. I'm a little, you know, everybody has a little bit of selfishness in them. So my selfishness is going to come out right now. And I'm going to tell you why I want those games to matter and be of relevance, is because I want to make sure ESPN continues to send me the games. You know what I mean? Towards the end of the year, like, they tend to try to make some business decisions. And I got to, you know, put on my suit and tie with the briefcase and do some selling. You know what I mean? So hopefully the Titans do that for me by keeping things relevant. But to your point, though, right, and that's exactly why they have that last game always be a division game. Now, it just so happens that four of the last five are, but that last game is always a division game to deter teams from, hey, we got stuff wrapped up, let's go ahead and bench the starters. You know, it makes that game a little more relevant.
And I think, too, like, for the Titans, you know, I've seen years where they've started off poorly, but they've salvaged it by winning in the division. And Jacksonville did that 2 years ago, where they started off poorly and they salvaged it in the division. I love that at the end of the year. I also, how much do you, you know, we remember the Murderer's Row of 2021 when they went through Buffalo, Kansas City, yeah. Indy, and the Rams.
Yeah.
And then they really had one in 2022 where they went to Green Bay, and then it was Cincinnati, and then it was Philadelphia. And I would argue that that Murderer's Row, and I know they won the Green Bay game, but then they lost everyone after that, that kind of broke them, you know, in 2022. They don't have any stretch like that this year, which I think is a great thing.
Yeah, no, and that is a great thing. And I mean, you look at it, starting off the bat, like, this, that's no walk in the park, right? I mean, yeah, we'll see what the Bears are to begin, but the Jets, their pass defense is good. You got Aaron Rodgers, you know, getting back into the mix. The Packers they're a good team, and the Dolphins are the Dolphins, you know, so That's a tough little start. But to your point, there is no crazy hard stretch. And that's great for this coaching staff. But, I mean, things could change, right? This league mm-hmm. has a matter of things changing quickly from year to year. And it could be very different, right? Like that whatever Commanders game can end up being a – man, they could end up being a tough out. You know what I mean? And I just,
oh, yes.
You know, you never know.
I mean, I remember in 2017, I think this was the year before you got here, the schedule at the end of the year was like San Francisco, they sucked. The Rams, they sucked in 16. Jacksonville, they sucked, and somebody else. And at the end of the year, you know, that McVay had gotten there, and Shanahan had gotten there, and Jacksonville that year, they had added Calais Campbell, and they were really good. And all of a sudden, at the end of the year, it's like, holy crap, these four games, I mean, this is a gauntlet. And so that absolutely could happen where it's like, oh, actually, Minnesota's good. You know, like, actually, you know what would have to happen for that? They'd put Sam Darnold in there, and then they'd get good. And, you know, that's a kidding.
I'm not taking that bait.
I'm kidding.
I'm not about to do that.
Although Tua, 2-8, or I should say the Dolphins, because I don't know how many of those games Tua didn't play. 2-8 in primetime over the last 2 years, which I found to be fascinating. So, TD, you have been big on Caleb Williams for a while. Well, we will get to see Caleb Williams in his first game with the Chicago Bears. I want your opinion on that, because there's I don't want to sit here and say let's preview the first game, but I'm getting excited about the first game with the schedule dropping yesterday. TD, your thoughts on that? We'll do that next here on Stillman & Company, the TD Power Hour presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 the game.
Rookie quarterbacks, six of them taken in the first 12 picks this year, if you haven't heard. Caleb Williams gets things started at home against the Tennessee Titans. 1 p.m. Eastern game on Fox, week one. Watch that, Chris, instead of Giants Vikings, so I don't have to listen to you every time the Giants have a play that results in positive yardage. It will be Caleb Williams taking on the Titans with a new head coach, Will Levis, in year two. Caleb Williams, the present and the future for the Chicago Bears. That should be a fun one. And that same day, Jaden Daniels, late afternoon, Jaden Daniels taking on the Bucs in Tampa to start his career.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that won't be easy. We know the Bucs are good. They're talented, right? Playoff football team. And, you know, I look at Caleb Williams, though, and look at that one and go, hey, 1 p.m., Tennessee, that doesn't necessarily have the, you know, the aura of, oh, the toughest place to play, right? They're a new coach and kind of a new team themselves. That's certainly one I think is winnable.
That was Mike Florio and Chris Sims this morning. TD, I was offended when I saw Chicago's a 4.5-point favorite. Meanwhile, Tampa Bay is a 4-point favorite against Jaden Daniels in Washington. I was like, whoa. That being said, your thoughts on week one, Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears?
What did Bart Scott say? Can't wait. Listen, Caleb Williams is a guy that I've liked since 2021. Right, and I remember I just happened to be watching that Texas-Oklahoma game, and they were down by, what, two touchdowns? I think it was like 17 points, something like that. And he came in for Spencer Rattler and led them to the 55 to, what, 40-something win. And I'm like, yo, this dude is like, he's playing like his ribs are showing. He's hungry. You know what I mean? And liked him ever since. And you look at the stuff that he's able to do. I love quarterbacks that are able to go off schedule and make plays. But then he's one of those guys where you can't just be like, oh, well, you know, he can't win that way. You have to stay in sequence. You have to stay in whatever. And he can stay in the pocket and in rhythm and have that timing to it too. So he's a pretty fun quarterback to watch. I want to see how he's going to be able to, you know, get used to being with those targets that he has. Because, I mean, look, man, you got a nice trio of receivers. You got Kmet, the tight end. And then, I mean, you look at DeAndre Swift, you know what I mean? In the backfield, that situation is set up pretty well for him. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a fun game. It's one of those games where I think Denard Wilson could show off a bit. And you talk about can't wait. That's one of the things I look forward to the absolute most in this season is seeing how he and that defense looks.
I'm glad you brought that up because on one hand, I'm sitting here. I don't love playing a rookie quarterback in his first game because you have no film on him, but what do they know about Denard Wilson and what the Titans might do on defense?
Nothing. I mean, you could go back and maybe schedule some – preview some Greg Williams tape, or you know, some of the things that the Ravens did in the secondary last year, or things that the Eagles did when he was the DB coach overall, you know, secondary coach there. But there really isn't much you can pull from it, because they're not going to show much in the preseason. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's just going to be all about just making sure Caleb Williams is able to not panic, right? And when I say panic, I say that because he's going to see something before the ball's snapped, and it's going to be different once it is, right? And so they have to take him through those channels and help him be able to make that adjustment accordingly. And it's just going to be tough to do that, you know, when you have a 300 and I guess at that time 350-pound guy collapsing the pocket from the interior, you know, with a monster coming off wherever he's coming, to Jeffrey Simmons and Devondre Sweat.
By the way, I didn't think Sweat was that fat last week. Like, when I got out there, well, because Warren Sapp's listed at 303, and I'm like, if Warren Sapp is 303 and he's 366, he must be the size of a house.
Yeah. Well, see, this is the thing. Like, you know, and that's why it's important to see for yourself as opposed to numbers, right? You see 366, and you're like, oh, man, it's going to be a tub of lard out there. You know what I mean? And that's why a lot of this talk about, you know, the way he's supposedly – oh, by the way, did you know that he played more snaps per game than Byron Murphy did?
You know, somebody said that. I don't know who, but somebody did. And they were, like, saying all that two-down player stuff or whatever, but then he played more than Byron Murphy.
It's true. He did. So, you know, a lot of these narratives get formed, and they get tossed out there, and we allow it to shape our view of a guy. But then, like, in your case, you see him in person, you're like, you know what? He's not Fat Albert. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, he's big, but he's not, like, again, but now, first of all, I think Warren Sapp, 303, that's got to be bullcrap. There's no way he was 303.
Warren Sapp, though, you talk about sweet feet. You ask any like, ask Zach Piller or any, you know, anybody that you might have access to, ask them about going against Warren Sapp. They'll tell you, you know, right off the snap, like, this dude was boom, boom, and real swift with it. I think when you look at Sweat, and the reason why I bring up the sweet feet, because Sweat played basketball, you know, a lot like how T.R. Tartt did, because even though it wasn't consistent burst and quickness and movement, when he wanted to get somewhere, Big Tartt would. And it's funny because I remember during the year last year watching Sweat, and I'm like, yo, this dude is like a pumped up T.R. Tartt. You know what I mean? The same quick swim move, good arm, hand usage and stuff like that. But the footwork is something that I think is going to continue to shine with Sweat. And now, if he drops some weight and gets down to that 345, 350, you're really going to see it.
So I'm of the belief that with Devondre Sweat, like, if everything goes well and he becomes the player he can become, like, I really – this is going to sound crazy, but I think he might be, like, a Hall of Fame caliber player. That if he can – I just don't know if that is – like a Warren Sapp, or if that, like a Warren Sapp, Albert Haynesworth, Reggie White, or if that's like more of a Vince Wilfork, who, I mean, I think Vince Wilfork should be in the Hall of Fame one day. I don't know if he'll make it or not. I thought he was an incredible player, but he was more of like a true nose, and yeah, he'd get after the quarterback some, but he really just dominated the offensive line and let everybody else eat. And I'm trying to figure out which kind of player Sweat would end up like if everything goes right.
Well, Sapp played a lot in that 4-eye. Like, he wasn't as much head up. I mean, they have Booger McFarland doing a lot of that head up on the center. But, I mean, yeah, to your point, I think you look at Sweat, he's not somebody that you have to be restricted to the A and B gap. Like, you can move him around. And that's the thing that I think is impressive with him. Now, here's the problem, though. Here's the problem. And I kind of started to think that after I talked to him at the Senior Bowl, and he told me that he doesn't use the bull rush because it's too easy. It's boring. He doesn't use it all the time. He wants to show himself to be a complete pass rusher. And it's kind of like when Donovan McNabb with the Eagles a long time ago, like, he got so caught up in showing, like, I don't, or even Dak Prescott more recently, I don't have to run the football to be effective. I can stay in the pocket and do, just play your game. And that's what I think it is with Sweat. Just play your game. Use your bull rush. It's powerful. Use your bull rush consistently until they stop it and have the counters off of it. You don't always have to, you know, try to be real pretty and finesse with it. You're a power player. Use that.
Let me tell you where I expect to see Tavondre Sweat's bull rush. And if not, I'm going to be very
disappointed. Against the Dolphins.
Yes! I'm going to be very disappointed at him, Denard Wilson. I'm going to be disappointed at the owner. If they play week four, the Dolphins, Aaron Brewer at center, and they don't stick Tavondre Sweat right over Aaron Brewer and say, every play, you push him back as far as you can.
Yeah, no, I get it. I knew as soon as you – I said, yeah, he's going right to the Dolphins.
I mean, somebody brought that up on Twitter last night about Brewer versus Sweat, and I was like, oh, my God. Sweat, I mean, he might – again, Brewer says he was – Brewer said he played at like 290, right?
Something like – yeah, 290, yep.
Okay, you know, Taylor Lewan did an interview where he talked about how much he loves Brewer, and he said he's 272 soaking wet. So my guess is it's probably more like 275, 280 than it was 290.
Mm-hmm.
Tavondre Sweat is literally 80 pounds bigger than him. Like this is what like Jonathan Hankins, and I expect Sweat in the long term to be a better player than Jonathan Hankins. Jonathan Hankins is a very good player. And when they played the Raiders 2 years ago, they sat Hankins right over Brewer the entire game, and he just pushed him back. And then Hankins got traded to the Cowboys, and they played the Cowboys later that year, and he just sat right over Brewer. I'm like, Tavondre Sweat should eat Aaron Brewer for lunch, literally, and I cannot wait to see it. That might be the most excited I get all season.
You know who Tavondre, who T-Sweat reminds me of, and no one has really gone into this, but if you remember Dontari Poe,
yes, with the Chiefs.
Yeah, like an athletic. Like I'm not going to go as far as to say Vita Vey because you know that's a he's a different yeah. player. But I think you look at Dontari Poe, it's very similar as far as now Poe I think was like 350. You know, so you're talking in the same neighborhood weight wise, but just the agility and the speed at that weight. You know, these guys carry that well enough for you to be like, yeah, they're 350, 360, but they're not fat boys.
I'm trying to think with Dontari Poe. He played with Justin Houston.
Yeah.
And kind of that group before this current group of Chris Jones and D. Ford and those guys.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. As Chris Jones was coming in, they got him up out of there.
And then Chris Jones, like, I kind of think.
You ever see Chris Jones in person?
You know, now that you say it, I don't think I have.
Lord have mercy. Let me tell you something. I was in the tunnel. Before the AFC Championship game and he came out and he was standing next to me and he was kind of like leaning against the wall praying and I was just like, I said, God dang.
And you were praying that the wall stood up.
I was just praying that he didn't get too hype and want to bounce around because I'd have had to, you know, kind of, excuse me, get out the way, you know what I mean?
So how would you say he compares to Simmons? Because I'll never forget the first time Simmons walked by. We're at practice. I forget where we were. And Simmons was hurt. This was training camp.
Mm.
And Simmons was coming off the knee injury. And he walked by me and Floyd. And Floyd turned to me and just goes, oh.
Yeah.
Like, as Simmons walked by, like, you know, like, I mean, look at, like, yeah. Almost like the hottest girl in the world had walked by. You know, like, it was that kind of thing when Simmons walked by. And so how would you say Jones size-wise is the Simmons? Simmons is a big man.
It's like a Doberman and a Bulldog. That's how I put it, right? Whereas, like, Jeff is just – you look at him and it's just like he's a Bulldog. That's what he is. You know what I mean? Whereas Chris Jones is a little bit longer. He's a little bit longer. I don't know what the height and weights measure out as. I'm just talking about visually he's a little longer. But Jeff, man, God. There's so much power. Simmons got so much power packed in him, man. So much power. Look at, and I keep referring back to it, man. Look at that Colts game. Man, listen, he was folding up. You know how you go to a church banquet?
Mm-hmm.
And when everything's done, they fold up the chairs and they're stacking them up? He was folding Quentin Nelson like a banquet chair.
I feel like when you say power, I think that his truck represents – him as a football player.
That truck is sweet.
I mean, there is. All right, so I asked TD this morning. I said, TD, can you do the traditional schedule day win-loss, win-loss, win-loss? And TD said he was in. So, TD, coming up next, the TD win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. We will do that next. Stillman & Company, I forgot I need to tell you about Window Nation. That's right. I love Window Nation. They are the best. It's their semi-annual sale, and it is a big deal. I mean, big. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years, plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. I had Window Nation out to my home, and I said, hey, take a look at the windows. They said, your windows are fine. You don't need a replacement. I said, really? That made me learn that this was an honest company. If your windows are hot or old or leaky or cracked or foggy and you know it, call Window Nation today, because it's about to get sweltering outside, and you guys know that. Do not crank that AC up when you can get a good window that takes care of it. And with Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can do it. Again, 50% off all windows and no interest for 5 years, plus bonus savings when you schedule that no-obligation in-home estimate today. It's 866-90-NATION, windownation.com, 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. Join Cromwell Media along with local athletes and musicians at Hermitage Golf Course on June 20th for the 615 Open. Make a difference while supporting Souls for Souls. Every $20 raised goes to a new pair of shoes for a local child experiencing homelessness. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. TD Power Hour, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. All right, TD, I heard Robbie and Rexro do this morning. They went over the Titans schedule game by game. I think Joe was it. I don't want to misquote anybody, but I think I was kind of half asleep or maybe even three-fourths asleep listening to this. I think Joe was 6-11 and Robbie was 7-10. Are you ready?
Let's go.
Okay. Week one, Titans at the Bears. Who you got?
I'm going with Titans. I think that Denard Wilson defense is going to come out with a bang and have plenty of turnovers and have Caleb Williams scrambling.
Week two, Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. It looks like Aaron will be back. They play Monday Night Football that week against the 49ers. Titans hosting the Jets week two.
I think it's funny. You go from a deer in the headlights rookie to a savvy veteran. And I think the Jets beat the Titans.
I'd much rather have the Jets later in the year, knowing how combustible that situation might be with that coach and owner and offensive coordinator and
very
quarterback.
True.
And
very true.
Week three, the Packers, Jordan Love. People forget this. They were 6-8 last year at Christmas. They did not lose again until the 49er game where they just couldn't kick a field goal. So I got to tell you, you know, I mean, it looks like Jordan Love might be the real deal. Packers, Titans, week three.
This is a tough one, man. I wrote W, I wrote L. I'm going to go back to W, I think. I don't see him going 0-2 at home and start off.
Okay. The Dolphins are 2-8 in primetime over the last 2 years. You know how I feel about that quarterback. Monday Night Football at Miami.
This one's hard. But I love the way LeJarius Sneed plays. I'm going W.
Okay. He actually did play Tyreek Hill incredibly well last year. So TD's got him at 3-1 entering the bye week, which takes us to the first division game against Indianapolis.
W.
Really?
I think they beat the Colts. I'm not a full believer in the Colts yet. I mean, I'm not a full believer. Anthony Richardson is a plutonium-level potential guy. But I think, again, I believe in this defense that the Titans have. Now, I'm not going to have them 10 wins. Don't get it twisted. But I think they win this game.
So my thing with the Colts is I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, Levis sucks, and they're saying Richardson's good. And I just don't know enough to tell you that Richardson's good because he didn't play last year.
Exactly.
And you know how much I loved Richardson coming out. Like,
I remember.
Titans and Bills.
L.
Titans at Detroit.
L.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just what it is. Patriots.
W.
I think it is great when we're looking at the schedule that the Titans have the Patriots coming after those two games.
Yeah, it's like, all right, let me this is a get-back fight. You know, I done fought Mike Tyson 1 week, then I got to fight Vander Holyfield. Come on over here, Michael Moore. Let me beat you up a little bit.
Titans at Chargers November 10th. It should be noted, I do not believe the Titans have ever beaten the Chargers in either San Diego or that football stadium that soccer stadium or SoFi where Ryan Tannehill got hurt 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Justin Herbert had that nice throw at the end. This is a tough one. I'm going to go W. I think they win.
Okay. It's going to be hard for me to take the Titans when the other team's got Joe Alt, but that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or the next team because they may have Sam Darnold.
Oh, if Sam Darnold's playing quarterback, I may have to change my tune here. Minnesota and what I assume will be J.J. McCarthy by November 17th. Minnesota and J.J. against the Titans at home.
I think that's a W.
On the road at C.J. Stroud and the Texans.
L.
You know, division games are always kind of weird, but I'm with you on that. Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. And Jaden Daniels, that Commanders receiving core is sneaky good.
I'm going to go W at Washington.
Jacksonville at home.
Loss.
Bengals at home.
Loss.
Yeah, I don't like that either. Colts on the road.
That one, I think, is – I'm going to go W there.
Okay. Jacksonville on the road.
Loss.
Houston.
Loss.
At the end. So that would be one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, nine.
9-8.
That is 9-8. Okay. So Joe, I think, had him at 6-11. Robbie at 7-10. Chase had him at 9-8, just like UTD. Big Joe had him at 10-7.
Oof. I mean, I could see that if you say, hey, you know what? The Jaguars don't sweep them and the Texans don't sweep them. But then you're going to have that win, like that Green Bay game. I could very easily make that an L. You know, so it's.
Sure. And I could see them winning the Jets game.
Yeah. And then the Chargers game could be an L. Like it's and that's the thing. Until we see this team, like we know the previous Titans teams were like, okay, they're playing the daggone Commanders who are really bad. They're going to lose that game. But then they'll turn around and go to Philly and beat the Eagles. And it's like, what the heck?
Well, I mean, that was like the Mike Vrabel way, was there exactly. Would always be some fakakta loss against the terrible Texan team with Davis Mills at quarterback. And then they'd turn around and they'd go beat the Rams in SoFi, you know, without Derrick Henry. And it's like, okay, I don't understand what's going on here. And that very easily could happen this year. I mean, that like – I think the game that encapsulated the Vrabel era the best was the Malik Willis Sunday night game at Kansas City.
Yeah.
Because, like, people right now, you know, they everybody loves a new coach, which means they hate the old coach. But, like, Vrabel was a good coach. And yeah. It's like the Titans with Vrabel, they got so close against, you know, such odds, and they just never got over the hump in the end, whether it was 21 or 20 or 19. And in that Kansas City game, nobody was expecting them with Malik Willis at quarterback to go toe-to-toe with Mahomes. They got there, but they just couldn't get over that hump.
Just couldn't get over the hump. You're absolutely right. And it's just like, man, Chris Conley, shame on you.
Oh. Okay, to your phones for TD. TD at 9-8 on schedule day. Much will change because the Titans are probably out of safety and there'll be other things as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We are right to you with your questions for TD. Schedule, mini camp, roster, whatever. Put it in there for TD. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game. TD Power Hour presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, do you have a thought or do you want to go to the phones?
I have a quick thought. I want to shout out my daughter, Drew. She is graduating from Nashville School of Arts on Monday. So shout out, Drew. Way to go.
As my people would say, mazel tov, TD.
There he is. Mazel tov.
Craig, phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Craig, you're on with TD. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
What's up, man?
I love the show. Congratulations to your daughter, TD.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
So here's my question for both of y'all. Like, I've been listening to Jared talk about the strength of the schedule. Not the strength of the schedule, but prime time times that we get. Like, the more you get, the more popular you are. But wouldn't you think that the less prime time games would be less pressure on the team?
No.
Thank you. I'll hang up and listen.
That's a good point, right? Because
it's a good radio topic, honestly, to debate.
Yeah, the less primetime games, the less pressure. But I think, you know, as an athlete, especially an elite one, you want eyes on you. Like, you want that opportunity to show the world what it is that you bring to the table. So, yeah, I mean, there's good and bad with it. I personally would – I would rather be in as many primetime games as possible. And I'll be honest, just covering the sport – I would rather them have more primetime games because I love when it's okay, TD, we need your story. We're going to run it. It's going to have the opportunity to lead the site because this is the one game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm sure if on a much less significant level, if I'm looking at it that way, I'm sure these guys are.
I remember in Kansas City at the AFC title game talking to, like, all the, you know, you guys, all the media, and it was like, even though the media is impartial for the most part, like, doesn't root for teams, it's like, yo, it's good for TD if the Titans win this game.
Darn right. And that's like I told Levis, you know what I mean? I'm like, bro, you're good for business, man. Thank you. You know what I mean?
Sure. I personally am glad that there's not a lot of prime time just because I like the Sunday noon kicks, and then I, you know, get all my anger out, and then I can watch whatever the big game is that day at 3:30 in Sunday Night Football. But, you know, more pressure, less pressure. I think for some guys, crumble when it's the, you know, the big moment. And then I think other guys are Derrick Henry when it's the big moment.
Yeah, I think you're, get fresh under pressure. That's the only way to do it.
You know, Tua and the Dolphins are 2-8 in primetime in their last two seasons.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, last year's team was a good team. The year before, you know, it's not just Tua. It's not just Tua.
Indy Ben's mad at you, TD.
Uh-oh.
Indy Ben says, TD, what makes you a full believer in the Titans then? The Colts nearly won the division with a backup quarterback last year.
I'm sorry, Indy Ben. I never said I was a full believer in the Titans.
Well, that's what he heard when you picked him over the Colts.
Okay. I'm sorry, Indy Ben. I never said I was a full believer in the Colts either. I tell you what I like about the Titans, and I'm just looking, and Indy Ben, I went 1-1. Or actually, no, I have them sweeping the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
I have them sweeping the Colts. Well, I believe in that defense. That's what makes me a full believer. I believe in a defense that has two very high-level corners and a one healthy, solid safety. And what I think is going to be an outstanding rookie inside linebacker and an outstanding rookie interior pass rusher and one of the best interior defensive linemen in Jeffrey Simmons. I think that defense is going to be good because I believe in the players that I just mentioned, and I believe in that coaching staff. And I think that they'll be able to win.
I think that you missed one of the most important parts of the defense, and that's that Landry is going to be a year removed from the knee injury.
Yeah. I mean, look, I didn't want to just go into, like, every single position.
Sure.
Like, those are the things initially. But obviously, yeah, Landry too. That's a good point.
Caleb says, when you're talking wins and losses, are you thinking about what Levis was last year or what Levis will be this year?
Both. I'm thinking of, you know, what I saw last year to make me feel what he can be this year. I think it's a combination of the two. And that's the other thing. Like, listen, like, people like Indy Ben, like, bro, don't go kick your dog or punch a hole in the wall because I picked your team to go 0-2 again. We're just going off and just click. It's May. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Chill.
I would say the one thing that I, when it comes to the Colts, I don't know what to expect out of Anthony Richardson because he did not play last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Colts had a solid team. You know, they weren't great. They weren't awful. They were solid. But that was with, I think, you know, kind of a replacement level average bridge quarterback in Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
Richardson might be 100 times better than him. He might never reach the potential because of the injuries. I don't know. You know, Trevor Lawrence went up to Anthony Richardson after the first game last year and said, dude, you cannot play the way you played in college because you can't take these hits.
Mm-hmm.
And he got hurt twice. You know, does Anthony Richardson say, okay, I got to change my game now because of what happened last year? Does Anthony Richardson say, all right, you know, let's run these same QB sweeps, and I'm going to go run into Harold Landry again and see what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's tough. It's tough. We don't know. But look, I mean, you put A.D. Mitchell in that mix, like, make no mistake about it. You know, A.D. Mitchell, you know, you look at Pittman, you look at Alec Pierce. I've always liked Alec Pierce in Cincinnati, watching the Desmond Ridder film. And then you look at Jelani Woods, you look at Josh Downs, you look at Mo Ali Cox, like, Gregson, Grayson. The tight, like, they have some players. Don't get it twisted. And obviously Jonathan Taylor. And here's the thing. If you ask me next week to go through these games, I very well may pick, you know, them losing one and winning one and them, you know, sweeping another. Like, it's just back and forth. Like, not to say I'm a total believer in the Titans or a total doubter in the Colts. It's just, you know,
I think it's like your way of saying it's not that serious. It'll
basically,
be okay.
Basically, it's not that deep.
Texture says, TD, tell me where A.J. Highsmith fits on the organizational chart of the Titans front office. Does he replace the college scouting director? Is he above the college scouting director? What about the pro scouting side? Does he report to Anthony Robinson? Thanks. Who's A.J. Highsmith?
A.J. Highsmith, that's Alonzo Highsmith's son. He's a new guy they hired to oversee. I think it's the college part of it. I believe he's going to report ultimately to Rand, but I'm not sure exactly who he's going to. I don't know who is the pro personnel. I don't know who's. Hey, long story short, I don't know.
Is John Salgi still there?
I'm not sure if he's still there. I'm not sure. I know that there was a move, like Brandon Taylor moved from the pro side to the college side, and he's high ranking in the college side. But I don't know the chain of command from A.J. Highsmith up to Rand Carthon. I'm not exactly sure.
Are they, you know, it sounds like, because Paul was talking about how they had interviewed some people, you know, that are higher-ups in other organizations. It sounds like after the draft, they've decided they are going to reshuffle the scouting side a little bit.
Yeah, they are. And I mean, look, and that's to be understood because, so here's the deal, right? Like you have the contracts pretty much expire after the draft, right? Mm-hmm. Now, Rand, being the type of leader that he is, he wasn't going to come in and just say, okay, you, and you, see ya. He came in and he gave people an opportunity to prove themselves to him. Right. And so that way he could decide, you know, I'm going to keep this person. I'm going to take this person. I think you would be better in this role, this, that, and a third. You know what I mean? And so that's why you're seeing it. So, yeah, definitely it's intentional. And you're going to continue to see some of these changes and moves. And it's just you got to wait for other guys, their contracts to come out, expire, and be able to make that move.
Steven asked, TD, will Caleb Farley be healthy enough to compete for a spot on the team this year?
I don't think even Caleb Farley himself knows that, to be honest with you. No one knows. And the way that that thing works is kind of like a day-to-day thing where it's going to – and this is what he told me, you know, back in January. He said, you know, one day it feels straight and he feels like he has the explosiveness. The next day he doesn't. You know, so it is a data. We're talking about a nerve issue, right? You know, it's something that's going to be touch and go. So I don't know. He doesn't know. Maybe Jesus does.
One texter says, TD, how much do you think the coaching staff is using the OTAs in order to evaluate Elijah Molden before thinking about going to add another safety?
I don't really know how much evaluation you could get done now, right? I don't think they're really using it much, to be honest with you. I think, you know, they will eventually go ahead and bring in a veteran, whether it's Marcus May. Because with Molden, it's not about the ability. It's about the availability.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's a solid safety. You know, he's not Jordan Poyer in the prime or, you know, any of those guys. But he's a solid safety.
He's fine as the fifth defensive back with this group.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's going to be interesting seeing how they mix things up because – you know, you got Jarvis Brownlee Jr. and Roger McCreary, who both, like, they tackle like safeties, like linebacker. You know what I mean? So they're enough to be helpful against the run. So you could go with, you know, a bunch of corners. Or you could have those times where you do the big safety looks and, you know, you're bringing – or the big nickel looks, you know, where you have a third safety, whoever that may be. You know, if it's Marcus May and Elijah Molden with Hook, you know what I'm saying, with Hooker.
Do you think that it's more May because of the experience with Wilson than Simmons, or that maybe at this point May's a better player than Simmons?
Ooh, you know, Justin Simmons is one of my guys. He's been a TD guy since watching him at BC and with him at the East-West Shrine. I don't think Marcus May at this point is better than him, just like talent for talent, but I think he could hit the ground running better because – of the time that he spent with Denard Wilson and knowing, you know, Denard Wilson could be like, you know, this scheme right here, this technique, this concept is just like what we did back in 2019. And we called it this, right? So I think that ability will help initially, but Justin Simmons is enough of a pro where he'll be ready to rock regardless. So I think it comes down to what they're more comfortable with. I think that's the thing.
TD, tell us about ESPN Bet Sportsbook.
Absolutely, man. Every shot, every goal, ESPN Bet has fans covered for the biggest moments on the road to the championship. It is the exclusive sportsbook of ESPN and the only place to find special offers and promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities throughout the playoffs. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. So download ESPN Bet today. What a play. For problem gambling and support, call or text TN Redline 800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details.
He's
that sound
the
like
best.
A car commercial?
It was perfect. It was perfect. Well done, TD.
Appreciate
you as always. We'll talk next week.
All right.
Yep, Teron Davenport, the TD Power Hour, is presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Will Levis, I'm not going to say disrespected, because I don't know if Will Levis has earned the respect. But I do think too many people across the country have made up their minds on Will Levis. But that's okay. And I'll tell you why. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.